You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com on WCRS FM 98.3 and 102.1, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or KNE World Network, LLC.
Welcome to Key Facts with Grady Pettigrew, law and business for everyday living.
Thank you for joining us today. We cover a lot of different topics in Key Facts, and today we're going to really visit and revisit because we talk about it, but we never get it done, I guess, is the vernacular. Our topic for today will be boys to men. That's especially important in the urban community. It's even important in every segment of that community. And I guess we'll tell you a little bit more about what we mean, boys to men, because of its importance day by day and certainly in every sector. We have in the studio two guests who are going to help us address this topic, and I'll ask them to introduce themselves to you as listeners.
Good morning, everyone. This is Michael Hargrove. I am the founder and CEO of DADS. DADS is an acronym. It's D-A-D-D-S. And I'm just so pleased to be back on the show. And I'm excited about today's topic.
Hello, my name is Dr. Dawn Karima, and I'm the host of A Conversation with Dawn Karima, which airs on TalkTainmentRadio.com. I'm thrilled to be here today. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Well, thank you both for being here. Boys to men. I guess we'll have to expand that as we go along because everybody knows what a boy is. It's a young male, and everybody should know what a man is because those are older males and maybe even mature males. But in this process, we ought to talk about what we're going to focus on is not just the male gender, but also the accountability in the community. So starting with you, Michael, what to you is the characteristic or definition of that man?
Well, I'd like to start with the characteristic of a boy so that people kind of know from where you come to where you hopefully should be. Quick, I think a boy is someone who is in the process of being groomed. I kind of view them as, and not from a male-female gender perspective, but as an unbloomed flower. You don't know sometimes what that flower is until it truly blossoms. And I think a male is that fully realized flower. Or it could be to take it out of those terms, a tree that actually now bears fruit. And so I think a lot of times we lack the nutrients, the nurturing to go from unblossom to blossom. And so my definition of a male is someone who not only has fruit that they can bear, but also be in a position to plant seeds, if we use the analogy of a fruit tree.
And I guess eventually we're going to talk about that in the context of their relationship to the community as well as to those family members related to them, whether it's descendants or their siblings and elders.
Absolutely.
Dr. Dorn, would you like to help us with that definition before we jump into it?
Well, I think, first of all, we need to know why it's important to have a definition, because we have so many things in our society telling us what makes a man. There are people who believe that if you do time in prison, that's a rite of passage. There are people who believe that when you have your first baby, even if you're 15 years old, that is a ritual, a manhood ritual. You're a man now because you're drunk for the first time or high for the first time or smoke cigarettes for the first time or whatever. We have all these arbitrary things. We even have people who have positive rituals that they believe make you a man, right? There are bar mitzvahs. There are wonderful coming-of-age ceremonies. So there are good things. And so what that means is that everyone on the planet is operating under sort of a different definition of what it means to be a boy or a man. And so I think that's why it's so great to have someone that is an expert in this define it for us. Because otherwise, we have mayhem. If I think a man is someone that takes care of his family and pays bills and has an education and works hard and contributes to society, and the man thinks that a man is somebody who has done time, we will not live happily ever after.
That is true.
And so I think it's really important to have these kinds of definitions on the books.
Well, certainly. We don't have much in the way of help from statutes and so forth because in Ohio law, for example, it's just simply an age definition.
Yeah, that's true.
Prior to 18, you are not an adult male. You are something below that. After 18, in terms of criminal sentencing, all kinds of things, you get the full gamut. So there's just a line drawn in the sand, but it has nothing to do with the things that you were talking about in terms of processing. In some primitive societies, they have manhood rituals that say, when you reach this point, you're on the verge. You do not become a man or a warrior in the community until you go through these steps. Once you go through these steps, and they also actually assign an elder to watch over them, once you reach these steps, then you become a man. So before that, you're not. After that, you are. But there is also a whole ritual, you were saying processing. There's this whole ritual that goes along with it. You've got to demonstrate your quick-wittedness, your courage, your any number of things. So when we talk about this boys issue, we don't have a lot of discussion about boys in our community because somehow, in many instances, depending on their size, they're lumped together with men, even if they're 12 years old.
Yeah.
If they're 5'7", 5'8", they're a man. Not really. But in our discussions prior to this, one of the things that you wanted to get to was this concept of male accountability.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, why is that important to you, Michael?
Well, I think until you can hold yourself accountable to something, I think for me personally, and in this particular society, you cannot truly call yourself a man.
Mm-hmm.
You may be considered just kind of a wild wildebeest out there that has no masters, untamed. And this may seem very, you know, crass, but I really believe in order to, if you look at the rite of passage example, the first thing they may be accountable to is how courageous you are. So there's always something that you're held accountable to determine mm-hmm. where you are in your maturity, your development, your stage, if you would, of existence. And so if we as a society, in particular, say urban communities, don't actually have standards that we hold young males accountable to, we don't have even girls with standards that we hold accountable to, how can we transition from just being wild wildebeest or untamed or unblossomed flowers to actually bearing fruit?
Mm-hmm. And I think the standards really are really an important factor. Because without standards, people do anything. Just anything.
That's true.
You know, whatever. If I don't give you something to be accountable to, you'll find something to be accountable to.
Absolutely.
It'll be the boys on the corner. It'll be your drinking buddies. It'll be whatever. You'll make up something to be accountable to, and it may not be good.
Yeah. And I think it's a natural instinct. I mean, when you mm-hmm. look at even nature, no matter how incredibly powerful a beast is, they typically will try to find some other beast that is similar or mammal or whatever it is.
That's right.
Fish swim in schools. Even yeah. sharks, you would think they're sole predators, but at some point they go back to a pack. You don't know that unless you study their behavior.
Mm-hmm.
You know, lions, they start off with a pack of cubs. The males may be in a pride as a sole male, but they'll still have a number of females that surround them. So
yes.
it always goes back to no matter where you start, even if you're a sole entity in the middle of your process, by the end of it, you want to be around those that you can relate to, that can help you. So if quote-unquote unintelligent animals do this, who primarily operate off of instinct, then what the heck are we supposed to be doing then?
Well, I think that's a really important point, too, about instinct. That, you know, there are a lot of people out there that are just doing. They're very unintentional. Mm. And, you know, there are a lot of things that happen when people are careless and unintentional. If you're not mindful, you could end up anywhere, just drifting. You know, you could end up with anybody. And I was thinking about one time I was speaking to a group as a motivational speaker. And one of the young ladies said, well, I know how my future is going to be because all the girls I run with, this is how they are. And I thought, well, do you want that future? And I asked her that. I said, do you want that future? She said, no, not really, but that's what everybody has. I said, well, then why don't you see what happens if you change the girls you run with? Go with the girls that study at the library instead of the ones that all have a baby. You know, go with the ones that, you know, try the girls that are, I don't know, in church. Or, I mean, just see what happens for a week if you just change your circle. If you know your circle's taking you this way and you don't want to go that way, what would happen if you got in a circle that's going the way you want to go? And I saw her about a year later. I went back to another event. And she was actually on the honor roll. Mm. And I thought, well, that just, I mean, wow. That's just, wow. What a simple solution. But yet, a lot of folks are not doing it.
She's alive, so I'm assuming she had a mother and a father at some point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it seems like someone that was a stranger to her told her a principle that she should have learned years ago.
Yeah.
Is that absolutely?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Absolutely. And that's the difference between growing up and being raised. Mm. I mean, I was raised. And that's the difference. When people raise you, then they give you some guidance and some wisdom and some help along the way. If you just grow up, maybe, maybe not.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
In many cases, the stronger lesson is not just from teaching, but the fact that sometimes people have to experiencing. That is hot. Don't touch it. The parents have a duty to tell their children. That is hot. Don't touch it. The child who touches it, in defiance of what they've been told, then may have to deal with the consequences of that. But we have a society now where a lot of people are not being told anything.
Mm-hmm.
They just go out and make it up as they go along.
Yes, yes.
So we were focusing just for a moment on the issue of accountability.
Yes.
And of course, a lot of the even popular culture is about the failings of males. They can't even go in the store and choose good products. They can't open a jar. They can't do this. They can't do that. And there is considered humor in that.
Absolutely.
And yet, in the traditional sense and in the historical sense, males served a very important role. They were, in most societies, the protectors, the warrior culture, the hunters and the gatherers. I mean, everybody may have gathered, but the ones who went out and killed animals with primitive weapons were males. So in terms of this approach of accountability, I know you work a lot with young fathers. The discussion has to center a lot around child support.
Mm.
But what other accountability is a part of the evaluation of these young men?
Well, I think there's multiple ways in which you have to be accountable in order to get on the path of being a productive, positive, productive parent. I believe so. For example, in the areas of health and wellness, if you look at any statistics, so goes a male's health in the household when he is in the household, the overall household.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at poverty statistics, statistics show that when a male is even in the household, that particular household has a greater degree of being not maybe financially stable with $1 million in the bank, but there's a less likelihood that the family as a whole will be in a particular bracket of poverty.
Wow.
You know, just being in the household. They didn't say the father had to have a degree.
Mm-hmm.
The statistics I show don't say he has to, you know, be a doctor.
Wow.
They just say when a male's in the household, there's a far greater likelihood that that household will not suffer poverty.
That's amazing.
Just being there. So when you look at the areas of, you know, harmony,
mm-hmm.
you know, they call it drama, baby mama drama, what have you. Typically, if the male is leading the love charge, I call it,
that's
meaning
great.
He's the one that is showing affection, simple things such as opening up doors.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a harmony amongst the household.
Wow.
It's just natural. You know, when you hurt your knee, you'll lay on dad's chest.
Aww.
Mom will kiss you.
Yes.
Those are just some areas that I think we can start to be accountable. Again, it doesn't have anything to do with your degree, your socioeconomic status. But even in the area of finances, what if you're the one actually going to the bank asking questions about how we can,
yes,
you know, save for next year's family trip? And then you bring that information back to the household.
Right, right. Leadership.
That doesn't mean you have to bench press 400 pounds to do that.
Mm-hmm.
We should be doing the heavy lifting in the household. If someone breaks into the household, even if your wife knows karate, you shouldn't be the first one that goes to have her go check it out. You should at least say, stay back. Let me at least see what it is. Yeah. I'll distract him. Then you come from behind. Yeah. You get what I'm saying as far as accountable in a few areas.
Let me tell our listeners that they can hear a conversation with Dawn Karima. Honey Dawn Karima, Creek Cherokee, hosts a conversation with Dawn Karima. This exciting Native American talk radio show features inspiring conversations with outstanding Native American achievers. This program that features lively, insightful discussions with fascinating Native American artists, authors, musicians, educators, media professionals, creators, and thinkers is heard Mondays on talkteamatradio.com. Well, I'm glad somebody in the house took the karate lesson.
Yes, that's
an important thing. But in terms of the accountability, I'm not going to be the devil's advocate and say you're really talking about a stereotype because you're saying the man should step forward. But that is not stereotypes in our culture are almost recently born. That's historically the role that males played since time began.
Absolutely.
Okay. So you've indicated this influence. But in terms of the accountability, they're stabilizing, there's the economic influence, the protection. But is there an accountability that relates to the health and wellness of that family?
Well, if I may, the biggest area of neglect in our community are families who are raising obese children.
Wow.
I may be boycotted for the rest of my life for this, but that's okay. At least I'll be alive to receive it because of this. And I'm so adamant about it because it breaks my heart and it sickens me.
Mm.
When I see an obese 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, of course I can continue, 12-year-old, 15-year-old, they do not have a job.
Mm-hmm.
They do not have a car. So they are not in the position to go out and buy food and bring it home. Even if they get free lunch at school, as horrible as we may say some of the schools are and blah, 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 the meals that they get at these schools, which we say are deplorable in some cases, the meals are much better than what they're receiving at home. And so as a parent, your job is to what, food, clothing, shelter, love. I mean, all these things we should be doing. So if they are obese, it is the responsibility of that parent, and it is oftentimes caused by that parent. And so you may be the world's funnest dad, but if you're feeding your kids something that will eventually kill them, what's the difference between you and, you know, someone that, you know, physically abuses them?
Wow.
They may have emotional scars when they're two if you physically abuse them. But then they'll literally have internal scars from plaque and cholesterol and diabetes, and you're slowly doing it to them. I just had to say it because I don't hear anybody talking about that.
And why don't we hear anybody talking about that, do you think?
Because some of their kids look like that.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
I guess the health issues are so serious, and as you said, in many cases, just simply neglected. I think of two stories. One by Dr. Charles Noble, who is a cardiologist here in the community and was talking about dealing with adolescents who have heart issues, and that one of the drastic things that he did in terms of their treatment was to remove all sodas from their diet.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Without anything else, kids lost 40 pounds per year.
Per year.
Wow.
just because they no longer consume the sodas. Now, we know they used to have 12-ounce cans, and now they have half-gallon cans or something, but sugar, caffeine, and all of those other chemicals that are in there. So that's the one. And the other one is a story, a local lady and her sister had taken over their nephew because their sister died, his mother died. And he decided that he would just stay in his room, play video games, and eat King Don's and drink soda.
Oh, wow.
And their brother, his uncle, came and told him that if he didn't do what his aunts told him, that every week he was going to beat him to a pulp. This kid happened to have been 6'4", and the uncle was 6'6". He was 14 years old, and he was 6'4". And the uncle was 6'6". And he said, because I have to work, it'll be on Sunday. I'm going to come over on Sunday. I'll beat you up, and then you'll go to school.
Schedule it in.
And so, right, you'll know. It's not going to be a surprise.
Right.
So I said, well, so what happened? They said, he was also delinquent
from school to the
point that the truancy officers were coming.
Oh, dear.
He went to school. He cut out the video games. He stopped eating King Don's, and he stopped drinking sodas. So the uncle never beat him up. But he believed that whether it violates any child abuse laws or not,
this
uncle was serious as a heart attack when he told him, when I come back, all I'm going to listen to is what they tell me. If you did this, I'm going to beat you up. You didn't do it, I won't beat you.
Well, I do want to take something out of that, though, you know, and say that, did you see that a man came into the situation? The good-hearted aunts love this kid. They love their sister. They're trying to rise to the occasion and step in and fill in the void. And yet, there was still that longing and that yearning for a good, solid role model that was male to take an interest in this kid. And it wasn't the threat of anything. That wasn't it. Because the police, they could have called the cops and juvenile hall or something if they just wanted that. It wasn't that. It was that a male had an interest in him and told him what men do. Men do not lay in their bed playing video games and eating snacks all day. That is not what men do. Men get up and help with the chores. Men, your aunt asked you to do something. This is what you need to do. So when a man got involved, something changed, didn't it?
And what's amazing is that, again, you have that example of love and nurturing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to love and nurture you by giving you the ding-dongs
and
the video games.
Yeah, and some sodas and, yeah.
You know, it's like if you want to, okay, for example, I'm the type of parent where, okay, you don't want to listen to what I got to say. I'll just flip the breaker switch downstairs so you won't have any power in your room.
I'll cut off the Wi-Fi. You will just be alone.
So,
yes.
Again, but, you know, yeah, they didn't want to hurt my baby. That's our baby. And I get that aspect. But I think when you have that aspect in a household, it's needed. He needs to be loved and nurtured. But also, I think where we lack is balance. We either have discipline-driven mother. Say, for example, she's a single mom. It's either one of these two things I've seen in my lifetime.
Mm.
And it's not exclusively, but you either have a mother who is so oppressive and emasculating to the point.
Mm.
And then because that father's not there because they want to make them tough. And then the other side of it is you have that mother who's overly nurturing,
yes,
who is, you know, almost enabling.
Yes.
That says, you know, yes, I don't want you hurt. I know your dad, for whatever reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we can help bring balance back into the households, I believe our children, I really believe in our children, they'll make the right choice.
Because
that boy could have said, you know what, I'm 6'4", he's only 2 inches.
Yeah.
I think I can take him, but for whatever reason,
right,
he had to make a choice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, and again, I think, you know, so many of us have given up, in particular on our black males. They're just looking for someone to challenge them to make the right choice. Yet they feel like the only choice they can make at this point are wrong ones.
Especially, what if you have a community where maybe every person in the family has been to prison? I had students like that.
Wow.
When I taught college, I had students that the only men they knew were in all kind of trouble, or nobody worked, or whatever. How do you balance that out?
And the good thing is that they actually go somewhere other than, and the only way, I believe, is they actually go somewhere other than their household.
That house, yeah.
So the only other place that I know of that these kids go, where they can go somewhere where the person's not in jail, obviously, is their teacher. Mm. I mean, if they were in jail, they wouldn't be able to teach.
Right.
So I think in these communities where literally they come from that, I think that's where the mentoring literally needs to take place. Yeah. Maybe take out a subject here, maybe add a mentoring class in between, you know, as opposed to study hall, have a mentoring class.
Wow.
Or just a session where you can be mentored.
Right.
Well, one of the things that I have discussed with a local leader here, Dr. Lewis Dodley, is the fact that there is this vacuum. And his objective is to fill that vacuum with real knowledge, real stuff, and real accountability. And so he maintains that we are short shrifting young males if the only voices they hear are female voices because they respond differently to a male voice. And then if they're going to have a male voice, it has something has to have something positive to say, not just a voice, but something that is going to be encouraging, holding to this accountability, and in some way helping in this process of rearing, that is, nurturing these young men. Now, as you said, there are whole lots of segments of our society that have basically written off African-American males. You really only need it for hot, dangerous, low-paying jobs and to fight our wars, well, and to fill up prisons. Once you eliminate those three, if you're not in one of those categories, we really don't need you. Now, that is a position that many, many, all the way from political leaders on down the range, espouse and truly believe. But in the African-American community, somebody's got to step up and address this issue of accountability, address the issue of what are you teaching them?
Mm-hmm.
You can't assume what are you teaching them. You mentioned just the simple act of opening and closing doors as you go through, just as a sign of respect.
Right.
Little boys have to be taught that, no, you're a two-year-old, you run through the door first. But when you get to be four or five, you open the door, let the ladies go through, and then you go through. They don't just automatically know that. So I think that what you're pointing out, there is first the need for the recognition of the fact that this is important.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody's got to implement it. They've got to adopt it and say, we're going to do this. They have classes for young women on etiquette, how to set a table, how to do this, how to do that. When have you seen one of those for young men? Or do you conduct them?
Well, I try to conduct those specific classes through example. You know,
that's good.
For example, if you find a way to get a captured audience, just using for example, one of the things we do to help promote health and wellness are sports. Why do we use sports? Simply because it's what gets them to the table. We honestly don't care what sports you play. But once we get you to the table, now we have the opportunity to establish a relationship. That's what's critical. So now I have an established relationship. You can see where I will literally stop a man from going in front of a woman at a tournament or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'll say, hey, can you get that door for them? They don't know that I'm subtly. And so.
That's right.
If we do then later down the line have a class, again, after we establish a relationship first, me telling you, hey, this is what you should be doing, isn't foreign because
that's right.
Like, wait a minute, I have seen you do this before. I've seen you do it with your wife, your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen you do it at whatever event I've seen you at. I've seen you, hey, I see another event. We'll go to any event.
That's right.
And I literally will seek out one of my partners or collaborators. So let's just say African-American male walk.
Mm-hmm.
You show up, you're doing a booth for yourself.
Right.
I'll purposely send a young male out there to help you get your stuff out of your car.
That's right. Training.
Little stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Training.
You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com. Check us out on WCRS FM 98.3 Wednesdays and Sunday evenings. Blogs and podcasts are available. Download TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or tablet. We go where you go. Radio the way it should be heard. Stay right there. You're listening to Key Facts with Judge Grady Pettigrew on TalkTainmentRadio.com. Thank you.
entertainmentradio.com is the premier internet radio platform offering 40-plus talk radio-style programs professionally produced, optimized for online distribution, featuring Columbus, Ohio on-air personalities. TalkTainmentRadio.com offers listeners diverse programming options covering topics such as arts and culture, love, life and relationships, technology, religion, paranormal activities, local and national politics, women's issues, alongside health and wellness. Listeners can access their favorite TalkTainmentRadio.com programs free of cost through the website. Download the TTR app to your cell phone and you can take us wherever you go. We have programs on demand to fit your schedule through our podcast. The address is TalkTainmentRadio.com.
Have you ever wished you could spend more time with your kids, or maybe quality time with your spouse, when you can actually have an uninterrupted conversation? Do you owe your dad a little catch-up time? Well, it's time to reconnect, and no activity can bond a family together quite like boating and fishing. I mean, think of all the great experiences you had as a kid when you went boating or fishing. Well, guess what? It's still great. Boating and fishing are the perfect opportunities for your family to get away, to talk, to laugh, to create new memories. So take someone you love out on the water and see where the water takes you. If you haven't been on the water in a while and you're not sure where to start, or if you just like to have some helpful tips for your next trip, please visit TakeMeFishing.org. This has been a public service of TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio, the way it should be heard.
I'm a doctor.
I'm a teacher.
I live in the South.
California is my home.
I speak fluent Spanish.
No hablo español.
I have brown eyes.
My eyes are blue.
We're very different people, but we do have something in common. I made a donation to the Red Cross.
When disaster struck and I needed help, her gift to the American Red Cross changed my life.
When you support the American Red Cross, you change a life, starting with your own.
Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org and find out about life-changing opportunities in your area.
Hey, wake up. You can't dream your way into college. There are actual steps you need to take, steps that go beyond just getting good grades. So if you're serious about college, visit knowhowtogo.org today. Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
I don't recycle. I mean, we can just find another planet for your kids to live on, you know?
Log on to yougottabekidding.org and learn about all the ways you can recycle.
Hey, recycling's just not my thing.
Don't be that guy. Log on to yougottabekidding.org.
Did you know that birthday parties help build confidence in kids?
Yeah. Did you know that giving kids less sugar before bedtime helps them sleep better?
Oh, totally. Did you know that friendly kids have more friends?
Everybody knows that.
Hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
I didn't know that.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Every day I wake up at 5 to give Dad his medicine. Every day I wake up at 5 to give Dad his medicine. At 6, I make his breakfast. Every day I wake up at 5 to give Dad his medicine. At 6, I make his breakfast. At 7, I shower. Every day I wake up...
For those caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community to help us better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
I don't recycle. I mean, we can just find another planet for your kids to live on, you know?
Log on to yougottabekidding.org and learn about all the ways you can recycle.
Hey, recycling's just not my thing.
Don't be that guy. Log on to yougottabekidding.org.
You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network, and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power.
This is Key Facts with Grady Pettigrew, law and business for everyday living. And thank you for being with us today. We're talking about boys to men, and no secret that we're connecting it with overall health and wellness in the urban and certainly the African-American community. And as we were leaving, we were talking about the issue of accountability of men to themselves as well as to the community. But when we're off
off the mic, we were talking about this mystery, how to solve the mystery of the media stereotypes that are affecting this entire issue of men standing up in the community, what they see themselves as being accountable for doing. So how do we solve that mystery? What's the answer?
Well, let's start by defining the mystery. The mystery is that the media continually portrays men of color as criminal suspects, okay, problem players who cause heartbreak and drama for women who become involved with them, baby daddies. You are not the father. You are the father. There are whole shows based on paternity tests, which is alarming. And then, of course, as some other kinds of buffoons or sidekick, goofy characters. You know, everyone else on the show is normal, but that sort of goofy male friend, you know, or whatever. Those stereotypes are pretty prevalent. I mean, and I'm not talking about 1950. I'm talking about right now. I mean, this is still Absolutely. The way it is. I mean, if we turn on TV right now, we could find representations of all of these. Even in the reality shows, which are supposed to be real people, quote unquote, you still find people filling the same role. Okay. Now, with young men turning on the televisions and watching these things, not to mention listening to music, because a lot of the music will tell you to behave a certain way, and that is the definition of a real man, whether it's be a player, be a thug, be an alcoholic, whatever it is. Those are the images that you're given. How do we combat that?
Well, Judge, how did you combat it? You have children, right?
Right here.
Yes.
Yes, so let's just say we're talking parent to parent, right?
We watched nothing. We listened to nothing. Seriously. We just really.
So basically, in order to parent properly, you have to be a tyrant. Is that what you're saying?
Not at all. You have to structure the environment in a wonderful way. We went outdoors. We went on family trips to the library and the museum. We did not watch television. We really did a lot of other more interesting things than immerse ourselves in the popular culture of the day.
But also, the world is a large place, and from the time our children were born, we traveled.
Mm-hmm.
I come from a large family, so we have relatives everywhere, but we went by car, we went by plane, we went all over the place. So having an awareness of this larger world,
mm-hmm.
we consider to be important, right? So we did not buy full-length leather coats for our children as teenagers. We had friends who did. That was their distinction. But our children had been out of the country. They had traveled all over the United States. They had eaten from McDonald's all the way up to the finest restaurants. Everywhere we went to experience nature and to experience art and culture. So when we went to New Orleans, we were on Bourbon Street. But we went to the art museum.
On Bourbon Street.
No, it's not. We also went out on swamp tours and historical tours of the plantations and so forth. So what we tried to do, because my parents had done the same thing, is to try and show this bigger world and hope that they would want to be a part of this bigger world, not just the block they lived on,
mm-hmm.
not just the people that, you know. And so when they were growing up, our house looked like the United Nations in terms of all these kids who would come. And it was, you know, that was just the role that we accepted, because I said to my son one time, why can't you get a friend from just around the corner? Why do they all have to come from Worthington and Dublin? A long time ago, that seemed like a huge distance. But if it was going to be a positive experience, they were interested in science, they were positive, then we just did it. And so from our standpoint, it really was a thread that went back generations, because my maternal grandmother would announce, and I remember these, we're not that kind of people.
Mm.
We don't go around dirty. We don't have filthy clothes. We don't have filthy mouths. We do well in school. And then, of course, her daughter believed it. My paternal grandmother was a school teacher in the segregated South. So we were kind of bombarded by a lot of stuff that we couldn't get over. So we passed it on to our children.
We also had a mission statement as a family, and I think that really is something that matters. I'm not a parent yet, and maybe you'll straighten up some of these men so I can, you know, get married and have family. But we had a mission statement as a family.
Mm.
we were going somewhere as if everybody was going to college. We didn't even know that you couldn't go to college. I remember just being outraged after I went to Harvard and realized there were people that didn't go to college.
Like, what?
I was like, what? I mean, we were told we were going to college. My grandparents told us. My great-grandparents told us. My parents, you study hard. I remember my mother saying, we expect you to be on honor roll. We're not, that's not clap applause. We expect you to be there. You're smart. You ought to be there. Study. And that was just the way it was. We had mission, we had goals and destinies as a family. And so if we don't give people a good goal, they'll find a goal. It'll just be the goal that the rapper gives them on their favorite station. It'll just be the goal that the guys at the barbershop give them because that's what they've got. So people will get a goal. Either we will create mission statements and we will fulfill them, or we will start walking in someone else's mission for us.
Well, you talked about, seems like there's a few generations that you talked about and that you experienced.
Yeah.
It seems like we went from Judge Pettigrew dad to Bill Cosby to, you know, Al Bundy. What happened? And I know it couldn't have just been drugs that blew up. It was like a nuclear bomb on our community. Yeah, I get it. I understand. But why were people even drawn to drugs if they weren't depressed or trying to overcome? So prior to the drugs as being an escape, what caused us to be so depressed as a people that we had to turn to all this foolishness? Mm. Because it seems like I would have loved to have grown up in your household. I mean, you know, seriously. Now, can everyone travel and do some of those things? Maybe not. But just like you said, before you talked about traveling, you talked about you were raised. You didn't you didn't say anything about traveling to Africa and as part of you being, you just said you were raised. Mm-hmm. I understand what that looks like and means. So where is that disconnect? Why do we go from, you know, Leave It to Beaver to Al Bundy to Family Guy? Was there something that happened? Was it when JFK got shot? I mean, what was it that...
It's a spiritual hole, too, I think. I think there's a spiritual hole. When people lose sight of their spirituality, whatever that may be, then they're going to replace it with someone else and something else. And something else might not be a good thing. A lot of substance abuse is about a hole in the soul. Yeah. Trying to fill pain and weakness that really, you know, finding counterfeits and substitutes for those aches and pains.
It seems like we had more of a community when we were segregated.
I don't know.
When I've done some research. Yeah.
Well, I think certainly we had the identifiable community. I'm not sure that things were that great, but they certainly were different. But I think one of the things that has hurt us is this concept of freedom. There are people who actually believe they're free to do anything they want to do. They're not even accountable to themselves. When you talk about
accountability. He mentioned accountability earlier.
Yeah.
That is a complete lack of, because liberty is different than irresponsibility, right? I'm going to follow my heart. I'm going to just do what I want to do. Okay, that's good as long as your heart's a safe and trustworthy guide. You know, if you're following your heart and hurting other people and breaking their hearts and letting down your commitments, maybe that's not the freedom that you need.
So when it's not about segregation, wasn't about drugs. I think it goes back to you are accountable to more than just yourself when you were raising your family. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, was it as simple? It had nothing to do, because you grew up in a time that, for all intents and purposes, maybe was a little more challenging for African Americans than it is now. I mean, you didn't have Facebook. You didn't have iPhones. So, I mean, you really suffered. Really. Can we just be honest here? I'd be interested. So if it, in theory, was a little bit harder for you then, I think what helped you, regardless of the time that you grew up in, I think it goes back to accountability.
Well, let me tell our listeners first.